is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, good morning. It is Wednesday, February the 24th, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow 612. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796, and that's powered by BTC. You can also call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. For those callers and listeners who have been expressing difficulty getting through to the show, just keep trying the numbers. Try the first two numbers. But just keep trying. And if you buck me on the road, right, like because you waste up all your money trying to talk to me and you couldn't get through, if you buck me on the road, you know, maybe I have a joke for you or a tip or some advice, or I could tell you where the sweetest tamarind are, right? Like, yeah, all is not lost. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for showing up every day, not just for On the Clock, but for GuardianTalkRadio.com, the smartest talk in Nassau. So I'm looking at the Guardian paper right now, and this headline, the banner is staring right at me. Get active 2021. Boy, I hope all of us are focused on getting active. Because all you have to do is get up, get out, and get active. There are four platforms to enter. Over 40 winners will be announced. You can take your photo or video with a copy of the Nassau Guardian. Log on to GuardianTalkRadio.com. Click on the Get Active link. Download and invite your friends and family to vote on your entry, and you can win. Promotion ends February 26th. And the tip number 18 for the Get Active promotion is set a baseline. Starting late in the game, take a photo and measurements to see how far you have come at the end of your fitness goal. Every little step counts. If you've taken pictures and you could see those little steps, that's very, very encouraging. Listen, get on it. So yesterday we had a great show with Mr. Mins. I told you all tamarind season has started. I visited my first tamarind tree, and I am pleased to announce that it was sour like it was supposed to be, which is, it's like Groundhog Day, right? Like if the first tamarind you eat is sour, that means it's going to be a good tamarind season. And so I'm pleased to announce that we are rolling out on a good tamarind season. So today I want to call my show The Top 10 Things the Government Should Do Before Tabling This Bill. Now, I want you to give me an opportunity to lay out my position, and then I'll take calls and texts from the audience. But it is an open line style show, so I'm eager and excited to hear what you have to say. Now, there's lots to talk about in the news today. But after looking at the paper, I'm certain none of them are more important than the announcement by the AG we read in yesterday's papers. The Tribune reported yesterday, the Attorney General Carl Bethel says his office is close to completing a post-emergency orders bill that will replace current COVID-19 restrictions. He said the bill will create an advisory committee to suggest protocols that fall in line with the Constitution, and suggested the move will ensure society returns to normal following the expiration of the COVID-19 restrictions. Wow. The AG is also quoted as saying, and so I'm looking for it in the paper, so we are trying to craft a house firmly under the jurisdiction of normality that is guided by ordinary constitutional principles of being reasonably justifiable and that has input on all sides at every stage. Now, I read all of those words, and I know all of those words, and I know what all of those words mean individually, but I don't necessarily know what these words could put together in this combination means, or what it is the AG is intending to convey with this statement. And so I got these questions. Why, the first is, why is the AG trying to craft a house for us without consulting us about what type of house we want to live in? And does the Attorney General and his office get to decide on our behalf what the new normal is? What does input on all sides at every stage mean? Input from whom? Is it the opposition? Is it the Bar Association? Is it civil society? Is it the unions? Is it the Chamber of Commerce and the Employers Federation? Is it professional associations and agencies? Is it the church? I mean, is it the public? And the next question, have you been consulted? Have you seen or heard an ad or statement or public discussion inviting contributions from the general public about the way forward or the new normal? Or the process of enacting some of these temporary state of emergency restrictions into ordinary legislation? Let's get back to that quote. I got a really important question. What is, and I'm asking the audience, any lawyers, any jurists, anybody with a legal background out there, what is, quote unquote, the jurisdiction of normality? And at the same time, what does reasonably justifiable mean? Okay, the AG says it's an ordinary constitutional principle, but what does that mean? See, reasonably justifiable is, it's so ambiguous. It's like other terms in the Constitution that are, I say are dangerously ambiguous. It's ambiguous like good governance and the public good. See, for instance, in Chapter 3 of the Constitution, where we are guaranteed certain rights, we are also told that there are restrictions on those rights, or that the state can restrict our rights. For example, the purpose of good governance or the public good. But that's so ambiguous. And who will decide in any instance what that means? Is it the advisory board? Or is it cabinet? Who seems to make all decisions in this country? Why only government and opposition members and medical professionals on the advisory board? Why no social scientists or former judges? Or lawyers, or civil society representatives. See, this is important. This is the process of creating the new normal, our new normal, right? But I have an even more important question. Are we ready for this? Are we ready for this transition? How did we get here so quickly? There's so many questions. And the first is, okay, so we know no state of emergency can last forever, but is the emergency over yet? On what grounds have you determined that it's time to to end the state of emergency. And if it's time to end the state of emergency, on what grounds have you determined that we need to enact some of the state of emergency restrictions in ordinary or permanent legislation? Are we still concerned about the potential loss of life or the potential collapse of the healthcare system? Or is it just the economy and the tourism product we're concerned about? If we take a look at today's Tribune, the article, the headline, "One-Shot Rollout Likely for Vaccines," the Minister of Health speaking to reporters The Tribune article states, speaking to reporters yesterday, Mr. Wells, the Minister of Health, described the vaccine's upcoming arrival to the Bahamas as good news, and again urged Bahamians to get vaccinated against the COVID-19 threat to assist with the country's economic rebound from the pandemic. So I ask again, are we still concerned about the potential loss of life? And is that necessary with a virus that has conservatively a 98% survivability rate? Or is it that we're concerned about the potential collapse of the healthcare system? But if that's the case, why haven't we substantively invested in enhancing and creating real medical services on all of the inhabited islands in the country? Or is it just the economy and tourism product we're concerned about? Is it just heads and beds and boats and berths? Well, first things first, why are you trying to enact what are supposed to be and are intended to be temporary measures into permanent legislation? Secondly, why would the government continue to attempt to justify restricting our fundamental rights and freedoms instead of using the resources necessary to make existing state mechanisms that can provide the desired results functional? And I'm thinking specifically about the restriction of the freedom of movement. And we're looking at inter-island travel, right? And I'm thinking, surely we could ease up on the restriction of freedom of movement of Bahamians traveling inter-island, right? And invest resources in border control and the proper functioning of the drones that we ordered and building a more effective relationship with our American partners that assist us in border control, right? Like, why are you restricting my freedom of movement in between islands and not ensuring that there are defense force and immigration officers posted at every port in the country, and using your technology to make sure if one is not posted, one will arrive at the necessary port before any boats can dock? That's a big thing. And even more importantly, why does the state refuse to have real, coherent, sustained dialogue and discussion with the Bahamian people around issues like this? Well, I say to the government, as important as this discussion is, it's too soon. And no matter how you feel about the virus, whether or the pandemic, the government still has a lot of things it needs to focus on and figure out before it should finalize, table, or pass this bill. So, I have created a list of things the government should do before tabling this legislation. I want to shorten that list to the top 10 things. I want to make sure that my list is complete. I would love the audience, listening audience, to call in and text in and tell me what you think should be on the list. What are the top 10 things this government needs to focus on before they table a bill? And let me read what he said. Before they table a bill to ensure society returns to normal following the expiration of COVID-19 restrictions. I can tell you a couple of things on my list before we go to the break to get you thinking. And I'll repeat this. Ensure that the Bahamians displaced by Hurricane Dorian were unable to return to Abaco within the time limits necessary for voting in constituencies are accommodated and can indicate whether they plan on returning to Abaco in the near future. In fact, not only is that on the top of this list, that's on the top of my other list, reasons why politicians should take a pay cut. Fix election dates and campaign finance reform. So those are three things already on my list. Tell me what you think. I got a few texts coming in. Call in. Let me know. What should the government focus on or get done before tabling legislation that would enact in permanent legislation some of the temporary state of emergency restrictions? You're listening to 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Erin Green, and we'll be right back after this break.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Somebody got your girlfriend on layaway. In the morning, in the night, almost every day. They would go down to the pawn shop so they can pay. Push, I, daddy, right. Somebody tell him what I say.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Remember, you can call in at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. Like I said, today is almost like an open line. The show is called The Top 10 Things the Government Needs to Do Before Passing a Bill to Enact Temporary State of Emergency Measures into Ordinary Legislation. And you see that song, Arlington played that song, Somebody Got Your Girlfriend on Layaway. I looking for this boy, Arlington, so we could make a remix, right? And I want to sing it too. Somebody Got Your Mango Tree on Layaway. Because agricultural theft is going to destroy us, right? That's something on my list. In fact, that's number three on my list. The government needs to focus on agricultural theft and minimizing it, if not reducing it entirely, before it moves forward with this new bill. And here's what I mean. The government, there's so much energy is going to be required to craft this new bill that will be creating our new normal, right? That what they should do is sort of put that on pause and focus on these things, right, first, because they may find that these first things, these things may be a stepping stone or building blocks leading up to this larger process. And so I got this text here. Good morning, text. It says, good morning, Aaron. The government is employing these strategies in the best interest of minimizing the spread of a virus that has not left our borders. If we are to reopen our number one product, it requires these safety precautions. I am so happy that we have the F&M government during this pandemic because God knows we could not afford the PLP with their scandalous hands in these trying moments. Also, the government needs to continue to focus on building the country as a safe place so that we can get back our lives or get our lives back. Truth is, I believe if this were the PLP, we would be in a way graver state. Okay, so yes, the government is employing these strategies in the best interest of minimizing the spread of a virus that has not left our borders. But we have right here in the Tribune, the Minister of Health indicating that it is for an economic reason, right? Mr. Wells described the vaccine's upcoming arrival to the Bahamas as, quote, good news, close quote, and again urged Bahamians to get vaccinated against the COVID-19 threat to assist with the country's economic rebound. He's quoted as saying, what would make it even better news is when the vaccine lands, that the Bahamian people avail themselves of it to the maximum possible use. We want the Bahamian people vaccinated because we want our economy open. We want the Bahamian people safe. You see, I am for the government taking steps to keep us safe. What I think we need more of is dialogue with all stakeholders and industry professionals. By stakeholders, we mean ordinary citizens, regular people as well. Because I am concerned about the government's decision-making process. You know when you're in primary school and you get the answer correct, but you don't get full marks, and the teacher said, because you didn't show the work? We need to see the work. We need to see the discussions and the dialogue. Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Arlington, let's go to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good, good.
Yeah, you forget that you mentioned that big word he taught me. I wrote down. I like a new word from the Minister of Health. What a big word is?
Repeat it.
I mean, can't say it. Repeat it.
Which one? Inoculations? Which one was it?
Inoculation after one?
Well,
I was talking to you with balls.
With what? Say that again?
Oh, is that what they said means? It means that a bunch of balls or something? Trust or something?
Oh, I can't hear you clearly enough.
You gotta go. The one with Steve with balls or something like that. That's a big word. If you could go back and look over it, and see what he said.
Spell it for me.
Every time he played, make me laugh. I know that.
It's a clippy. You hear him say it on a clip.
Yeah. They played last night. They put it that all over the social media.
Ah.
But Aaron, you asked important question. What would we like to see before this government amid office?
Well, that's something I may have implied or you may have inferred. But yeah, that's a part of it.
What I'd like to see is for local government so we could have a more local participation and downsizing of our government.
Absolutely. I'm with you there.
That's the most important one. But at the same time, I'd like to congratulate and give kudos where kudos is due to the Minister of Environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's some powerful bill that was passed.
Absolutely.
And, Aaron, there you're giving the mic.
Yeah, sorry, absolutely.
Yeah. You need to, I must congratulate Aaron. You need to express how important our environment, our resources are to be protected. And that is very important. Cause I know in the past, tourists, they come over here to explore at the same time to make money for our resources.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So I called the minister when he was leaving studio this week. I got his contact, and I'm going to schedule him in the next couple of weeks to talk about that. Right?
Yes, you got to schedule because, you know, he actually could be called any time, any moment, any hour, any second.
That's up, May?
Uh-huh.
That's up, May? And I was pleased. I was pleased with his presentation. I heard bits of it on Morning Blend that morning. I told him, look, I'm interested in exploring the question of sovereignty, dominion, and what is our responsibility as citizens to the Bahamas and its ecological and geographic environment, right? Like, what is our obligation to it, and how does the government express that through this new series of legislation?
You know, I saw an article, but you know, I'd be online 24 hours on an article. I saw an article down in Florida, what the minister of environment was talking about. You know, exploring the scientists in Florida exploring this particular species for cancer.
Oh.
And we have it in abundance.
I can imagine.
I don't remember the name at that time. I wish I could have sent you the article, but I don't have your cell contact or information or Facebook. I don't know if you're on Facebook.
I'm on Facebook. You can find me right there.
As Aaron Grant?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can look for that. But right. And I said, wow, the minister's right on target.
Yeah.
I can imagine we have this in abundance in our water. You can imagine how many money we can make up there for what you call intellectual property.
Right.
Now, our environment is a part of Intellectual Property Act.
Right. So, look here. I got another caller on the line.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
So, hit me up on Facebook. Send me that link and listen into the show, because the next thing on my list the government should focus on is telling us what all these foreigners been making billions of dollars
and how to get them back.
With. And how to, well, let them have it. Let them
no,
have
ma,
it.
No, we need to go after
let them
our
have
tears.
It. We're going to stop it right there.
Somebody, you won't get enough of your tears?
No, I can explain it to you in a second, but I got another caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. How you do?
Good morning, first-time caller to your show.
Thank you.
I admire your work, Aaron.
Thank you.
See, if I were to say to another male, because I know I'm a male, I know we got some males around here who are men, but they ain't males. I want us to have...
They are not mature in their masculinity.
You know
they have not
I mean?
Reached their masculinity
right.
yet. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. You could pretty this up for me better. But if I were to say to you, to another man or male, that I want to have with him an intellectual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, that is not going well with some men, because, like you say, the advancement of the intellect may not be too, because the word intercourse may convey something else. So when the great minister says testicular head, H-E-A-D, you see, you give the public the impression that you guys are heading up.
Yeah.
You see, so you don't use these kind of, and hey, all that smart it looks like to me.
You think he meant he was trying to say titular head, which is another loaded word, right?
Like it is. See, that's what I'm saying.
But you have an actual, like it seemed like it may be more relevant in that situation.
But he did say testicular head.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what these guys be doing up there in cabinet, man.
Not listening to the advisors. Not making space for the technocrats, the technical staff, and the ministry staff to help them form and craft their statements properly. That's what
they
do.
And they can't play music by ear. I didn't realize that. They ain't gifted to do that.
Yeah.
Our prime minister can't talk. He can't talk off the cuff for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
See...
So obviously, you know, this head thing, we'd like to know what they'd be doing. Maybe you could ask him what sort of testicular head the prime minister has.
Yeah, no, I don't, we're not gonna care about it. We don't care.
Okay.
In fact, but you know what I'm saying? One of the things I have on my list, right, is the things that government should focus on is putting civics and law and governance in high school curricula so we could understand what they're trying to say in these convoluted, nonsensical statements filled with political rhetoric intended
Amen.
To distract us.
Amen.
Right.
And then you're going to pass legislation that quite frankly, you could actually do it with the stroke of a pen or just saying it, you could just get it done. But you have to have a formal cabinet meeting to decide that you're going to give me a couple of dollars to sweep the road.
Right.
Crazy.
Right. And I saw the argument in the paper, right? I saw the argument that the state put forward that these measures cannot be carried out with ordinary legislation because... they violate, a number of rights. But we'll be talking about, like, the instance with freedom of movement, right? You already have a defense force. You already have a mechanisms, plural, that are supposed to be providing border control.
And I like how you brought that up and point that out to them, because they really don't know what they got.
Right. So here I am on lockdown in my house, can't leave the house, can't walk past my wall on the road, and watching stories on the BBC about these foreigners, these tourists, right, is what they call them, but these mm-hmm. undocumented migrants, right, mm-hmm. that are telling us that they were aware of some of the of restrictions, but didn't necessarily know or feel the urgency to deal with them. And they telling us how they're chilling out in our waters, eating the lobster that we can't eat because it's against the law to eat them.
We can't go out there and get it and get
right?
it now.
But you're restricting my freedom of movement, and then you want to have this, you want to have this half discussion about putting temporary measures in permanent legislation.
That's how you said it. That's how you said it. I love it.
Right? Because I need to know, on what right. grounds will you continue to restrict my freedom to mm-hmm. move between yeah. the family islands if there is no longer a constitutional state of emergency?
Well, he's not restricted to move. He's going to campaign straight through while we can.
And see, that's another thing. That's why we needed to focus on campaign and campaign finance reform before they pass or even table the bill, because they have a supermajority. Anything yeah. they table can pass, right? Mm-hmm. How is it that some people are disadvantaged in the campaign process against the government who
right.
can use any excuse to go anywhere and have any conversation on the government's business?
See this foolishness?
And these are things that we should demand
well, let's
from
do
them,
it.
These answers. But
let's,
anyway, listen.
I mean, let's do it.
Yeah.
I get I'm glad, though, real quickly, that I have a new word to tell my partner, you know, how to get it done. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You all be safe out there with these big words. You see the politicians having a hard time. Arlington, let's go to that next call. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you're on the clock. You still there?
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning. How you do?
It's always a pleasure to speak with you. You know, Ms. Green, my mind's not well because the information that I have in my brains, right? I'm sorry if you've been having the brains, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry if I've been the brains and thinking, all right?
We ain't receiving that.
Firstly, the Minister of Health said a couple of months ago that he would be the first to take the vaccine. You remember that narrative, right?
Yeah.
All right, now all of a sudden, it's the health workers. But what I'm saying is I'm perplexed by the media that seems to be just pushing the vaccine agenda. And I was trying to figure out how could a vaccine be exciting and how could it be good news. There's a great insidious war going on incrementally against a free global humanity, all right? Listen, just driven by bias pseudoscience, this is my writing, based on surveillance capitalism and panopticism, as it seems China and parts of Europe have already moved into, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're censoring the truth out of the collective minds, and they're using the mass media, all right? It's just the way it is. Mr. Beckham is on just a while talking about the casteist paradigm. I don't know if he ever smoked a joint in his life, right? But some people just think. And what happens is, in China, the government, with a totally digitized system, digital system, they can actually stop you from buying things because they could give you a card, deny you access
mm-hmm.
in the digital paradigm. So we as humans are not looking at this surveillance capitalism. Maybe C. Allen could call and talk about it, but I'm very sad, and I wanted also to comment on the Minister of Health, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my schoolmate, the COB. I like the guy. But the thing is, implementing the laws in the biodiversity is great, right? But I was listening to a lady the other day, and Juan mentioned it years ago, and I mentioned it. We don't have a gas chromatography machine, or what they call a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer.
Mm-hmm.
That is what is needed in order to analyze and even verify what is in the vaccine, what is in the marijuana they're selling us, what is in the food.
Right, right.
So, what I'm saying is, I'm sorry if I'm in the brains and dropping out of college and sharing knowledge with people. Now, there was a gentleman who texted one show the other day, 652, got the people fooled. He don't know what he's talking about. But at least I draw a reference to where I get my information from. And if I was talking foolishness, you could at least show me where I was talking foolishness. Right or wrong, Aaron?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so have a good day, man.
Listen, no. So you have a good day, first of all, 52. Second of all, we don't receive that in the name of any of our gods. Right? You are not sorry that you have a brain, and I am not sorry that you have a brain.
If you'd like to make a call, please
And sometimes, right, it is very painful to be in a space, and your heart is just filled with a desire to share information, to help build a common good. And you continually feel like you and that information is being rejected. And like I said, 52, I got a friend who's looking for you, right, who really wants to talk with you to create a community think tank project. So do not be disheartened. Also, systems. Hear what the man say? How are you going to have a marijuana industry if you don't have the machines to test the marijuana to determine exactly what type it is, right, what its specs are, or to test the quality of goods being imported into your country? That's why I keep talking about systems. How are you going to have a tomato industry if you don't even have cappers in the country to cap the bottled tomato? Right? We got to focus on systems. And how are you going to have a vaccine rollout if you don't have a system in place that is easily accessible, easily understandable, easily found and read? Right? Every government clinic I go into, there should be a wall dedicated to sharing that information, because this is how systems work. I shouldn't need to wait for the newspaper or speak to the minister or the PS to understand how the vaccine rollout system will work, right? These are the things we need to focus on before we move forward with that bill. So I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Morning. How's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Okay, great show.
I mean, just a moment. Ain't nobody bring me any tamarind yet, but it's still going good.
Okay.
All right.
What I think is confusing to a large extent to the average Bahamian who doesn't understand or study economics and pandemics and the do's and don'ts and whatnot, who rely something on the news,
mm-hmm.
to rely on the media bringing the right news. They rely on when they pick up the newspaper and it says something, it's authentic. But there is so much ambiguity. There's so much cloud around the facts and the truth. A lot of people are left wondering, what do you believe? Like, for example, when we have international reports done by governing bodies outside of our country, where there's no skin in the game, no family, no nothing. These people don't know us, just judging our performance based on a country level. When we end up on lists like the list of the 27 countries that are said to have done an excellent job or a good job,
mm-hmm.
with managing the pandemic, to the point where the methods they use, they say can be examples of best practice. Now, I don't know if the government cut one deal with these people to tell them to say that, because if you listen at what's going on in the country, you'll think this government has done the worst job with the pandemic. What do you make of them ending up on that list? What do you make of them, the Bahamas, ending up on the list of countries that has had the biggest drop in cases, and we stand at 50% above the United States under UK, which, while they have a whole lot of people, they face the same challenges. So, what does the average Bahamian believe? Do we believe these reports that's overseeing the government's performance in all these different countries that says that, yes, in comparison to the rest of the world, the Bahamas government has done a good enough job to end up on this list? What type of credence do we give to that? You know, even with the good things, by the time we didn't pick out what's wrong with the thing we call good, it even ain't good no more. You know, and I think we just need to keep the conversation as balanced as possible, thinking about the persons who rely on persons in the media, the newspaper, the government, the ministers, relying on them to be at least factual with the reports they're given. So what do we believe? Do we really believe that the Bahamas does sit on these lists, or we think this is just a facade? So I think we just need to keep it balanced.
Absolutely. Thank you. And we need to encourage civil society mechanisms and private sector mechanisms, right? Like the professional associations, the Chamber of Commerce. We need to create bodies to engage these discussions in a nonpartisan way. See, because we're going to be engaging political issues.
I think it's going to happen because one of the biggest revolutions of our time has been the opening up of the airwaves and social media and whatnot. I've seen any number of things that has come through the social media that the government was forced to respond to.
Yeah.
They don't respond to everything that come up, but there are certain things they cannot just allow to go out there for too long. So social media is going to change a lot of things. Plus, on top of that, there's hardly any way you can go now riding in somebody's car, you had a talk show. So people are learning. They're becoming more informed.
Yeah.
So I think the Bahamian that don't understand what's going on and whatnot, I think there are less of those now than there were 10, 15 years ago.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, so that grassroots mentality, the PLP relying on, their numbers are smaller now.
Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. The numbers are larger. That it is the PLP doesn't understand how the grassroots mentality has changed. That grassroots voter is a more savvy and more informed voter and less inclined to rely only on party talking points.
Exactly. Because they've come to the place where they will take your washing machine, they will take your fridge, your money, they'll take everything and still don't vote for you because they understand you saying one thing but actually doing something different. And lastly, the only way to measure improvement is by change behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, not talk. And if we look at what Fred Mitchell asked the question yesterday, I think it was on the Haja Black Show, do you feel like you're in a better position today than we were 4 years ago? You know, and that can only be measured by the improvement. If there's been any improvement, it only could be measured by what has changed for the better.
Yeah.
You know, and that has to be measured by facts. So if the facts show that from 4 years ago, when they had at least three of them before the courts for alleged corruption, and while they weren't convicted, the thing is they can't come back to the front line. They're scratched off the list.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't matter that none of them were convicted. I don't even think it was about that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so, I think I have a philosophy as far as when it comes to symbol is concerned. And I think anything losing its head is a symbol of decimation.
Yeah.
And during the 2017 election, the PLP lost its head when Perry Christie lost his seat. Both of these giants have suffered major losses and returned to governance. But we never seen any of them lose badly and lose their head at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, anything lose the head, the body wiggle for a little while, wiggle because of the tissues and whatnot. I think the PLP just wiggling right now because their head's gone.
Oh, yeah, they haven't.
In battle.
But listen, I got to go. I got another caller.
Okay.
But it's true. I don't think the PLP has really engaged substantive reform. They are attempting to reform, but I don't think they really have put their finger on the spaces in which reform is needed and what type of reform is needed. Also, to a point the caller just made, I don't know if I believe what they're saying, too, because I see this headline that says, Minutes handled pandemic in a masterful manner. And I don't want to laugh at the Prime Minister, and I don't think we should laugh at the Prime Minister. So I am going to advise these cabinet ministers to stop saying things that would cause us to laugh at the Prime Minister. Also, that term, somebody sent it to me. Thank you, Texter. The term that was used is testicular fortitude. And I will put this on the list with the other term used by the leader of the opposition, garbage juice. These terms are no longer acceptable in public political discourse. Please and thank you. Y'all don't use them responsibly. You no longer have the right to use them. We got another caller on the line, Arlington. Caller, you're on the clock, and then I got to get to some texts.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, man. I got a couple things on my list.
All right, let's hear it.
First thing they need to do is deal with the education system. And you need to start studying Africa from where we come from. Then you need to improve the health care and the social services.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to start dealing with these things about learning about your environment, mm-hmm. and investing in renewable energies. Then you need to get to things like Freedom of Information Act, campaign finance reform. Mm-hmm. And then you need to make moves to limit the powers of the PM. But the people have to be healthy,
yep.
of firm sense. Then they need to be in a manner where they could understand who they are. Because then when they see things like Freedom of Information Act, campaign finance reform, and other things are not being done by these so-called politicians, they'll be able to now raise the bar and move to better people coming into public office.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. And we also need to adopt things like what Thomas Sankara did, who was the leader of Burkina Faso. In time, he stopped taking foreign aid.
Yep.
That's what led him being assassinated.
Okay.
All the answers are right there. But if we choose not to invest and try to look at history and look at the history of those from whence we came, we will never fix our problem.
Yep.
You see, because unfortunately, we that live here in this place called the Bahamas, we are suffering from an identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We fail to realize where from whence we came. We look on Africa with disdain. And I know a lot of people will be like, well, where this fella coming from with this stuff? But that's why we are lost now. We trying to follow behind what former colonial masters did, adopting ways in which they ruled to keep us down. And now we trying to do the same thing. It's just that the faces have changed and they
yep.
look like us.
Mm-hmm. That you, look here, you're absolutely right.
Take, for example, just a quick thing before I go.
Yeah.
That's why when you put in rules, they don't work because nobody needs to come and table nothing to change no emergency orders. Just go back the way it used to be if the numbers go down.
Right.
And it doesn't make any sense anyway because I live up the street. There's a party house. That's an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a party here about twice a week. You call the people. The people don't even come no more. So I suspect it's certain individuals. I don't know who they
let's
are.
Let's leave it right there. Let's
but
leave
they
it
got,
right
they
there.
They got the pull like that.
Yeah, let's leave it right there.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the people have to be educated first to understand who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the people must be healthy. There used to be a saying, the wealth of the nation
is
the health
of the nation.
Nation.
Caller, I got to go. But
right.
tune in tomorrow because I got mm-hmm. Dr. Chris Curry on.
All right.
And it's going to be a really interesting show. I just, as you go, and I need you to know, I have housing on my list. Shelters for unhoused and homeless people. Shelters for men, women, women, and children. And shelters for people living with addiction. Safe housing for people displaced by Dorian in Abaco and the people in Nassau. And other people displaced by other storms. Fix the housing crisis. Focus on land law and usage reform. Rent and mortgage regulations and banking reforms. I also got social services. Enact emergency initiatives to reduce domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual assault, rape and rape charge. There is somebody, a couple people been calling the text line. You can't call the text line. You got to call the call-in line, 323-6232, 325-4316. So if it's an emergency, let the producer know. If not, call me tomorrow and we could talk about it. I got to read these texts. Since you spend your 6 cents, Miss Green, too straight. Two straight tamarind seasons, and I'm going to be a millionaire, buddy. Thank you for those blessings. The Ministry of Health said, yes, thank you. We're not going to repeat that. Good morning, Miss Green. It's so amazing that these bills are being presented without coming to the people. And what's more amazing is that the bills were promised on the campaign is nowhere in sight. I guess only what they want to present is important. It seems that way. But remember, the Attorney General said that they were tabling. They were, you know, they, in fact, they're in the process of crafting it. So they haven't even gotten to the point of tabling it yet. Another text, the workers was not concerned about saving lives. They were concerned about going back to work to save their property. Many males are not, man, we have male crab, male dogs, male snakes, even male trees. But more importantly, I think the point that the caller was making is that many men have not matured sufficiently. And when I say that, they haven't reached their maximum, right? That they just are underdeveloped. Men, they need some more life experience. They may need some more personal discipline. That's all. It ain't about, you know, sexuality. Aaron, I listened to Mr. Fred Mitchell on another show yesterday who claimed the PLP didn't do anything wrong. And with the plethora of issues we face, if you cannot confess your sins, why vote you back in? You were so right about civics in schools because we would learn how these past behaviors was an offense to our democratic processes, civics needed now. Yeah, a lot of us, the vast majority of us, and many of the new candidates and people sitting in the House of Assembly have no idea how party politic and dynamics, right, and party constitutional principles have been imported into governance. For instance, the Constitution does not create the position or the office of the Deputy Prime Minister. But here we are spending real Bahamian money creating an office and a license plate and a car and a driver and pikes for this thing that constitutionally doesn't exist. Hi, Ms. Green, as a true real Bahamian, I'm so sorry for how this country is coming to as I vote for this government, but this is the most coal F&M government ever in this Bahamas. And let me say this to people. If you support the government, support them and help them get better. Fill the gaps. Get your civil society organizations to work on projects that will help fulfill the government's agenda. Whether it's your party or not, but especially if it's your party. Ms. Green, I'm trying to figure out why these snails only eating my soursop seedlings and leaving the other plants. Because soursop is magic. But I'm going to try to get some info on that for you. Yeah, I don't like snail bait either. Last text. Good morning, Aaron. The Minister of Health, not the leader of the opposition, spoke of testicular head. You're right. The point I made was the leader of the opposition used the term, quote unquote, garbage juice to reference what he thought was a smear campaign coming from the F&M party. And I was saying that neither of those terms are appropriate, as inappropriate as the behavior coming from those smear campaigns. And so I got a long, long list. We're going to get back to the list. The last thing on my list that this government must do before passing any new legislation, including this bill, shut down the war rooms and bring integrity back to governance. This is not about politics. This is about governance and who will lead our country into the future. Shut down the war rooms. Anyway, Bahamas, I didn't mean to leave you on such a heavy note. I'm going to tell Arlington, play that song again. Somebody got your mango tree on layaway. I done seen the blossoms and the breeze blowing them away. Agricultural theft is a problem. Take care of your mango trees. Share the products of your labor with your community. Have a great day, Bahamas. This is Aaron Green. You've been on the clock. LeVan Miller is next with Unleash. It's 96.9 FM. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Somebody got your girlfriend on layaway. In the morning, in the night, almost every day.